Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. It's Meet Me at the Diner, and get ready to hold on to your seat. We're going to be talking about some things you need to sit up and listen about. We all are affected about it. And yes, we're going to be talking about the roads, and we're going to be talking about some new programs at the Chamber. So without further ado, I have Angèle Laborde, who is here. She is the CEO and president. Boy, you got two roles there of the Chamber. How you doing today, Angèle?
I'm just great, Ann. Thank you.
They decided to get a two-for-one there?
I guess so.
Okay. And then I have Jerry Timmons here. He is Chief Executive Officer Emeritus from Davis and Floyd. Spent many, many years there. And, of course, is on the Chamber of Commerce Board. So how you doing today, Jerry?
I'm doing just great. Thank you, Ann.
Glad to have you here. And I guess you have a lot of experience in working with the state on roads. Is that correct?
Yes, we date back probably 25 years working on roads. I guess I've designed bridges for many, many years, and then worked on the Conway Bypass a number of years ago, and been working with the DOT ever since.
How's that for a working relationship, though? It's tough, isn't it?
It's good. It's very competitive. A lot of engineering companies in South Carolina, but I think we rank up there pretty high, and we do our share, I guess.
Now, one of the things that you were telling me, though, in working with the state and on the roads is the fact that it takes a lot to get dot all the I's and cross all the T's to get the money to be able to get the jobs rolling.
Well, absolutely. There's just so many things that you've got to do now. Design is really a minor part of doing a road project. It's the environmental process, public meetings, getting all your approvals, getting the funding correct. The design, I've always said the design is the simple part of it. It's the other part of the red tape work that is so difficult in getting a project done.
Sure.
And it may take 3 or 4 years to get all of that done. People don't understand that it's just very time-consuming to get a project to the point that you can bid it.
And I know that that's part of a lot of frustration on a lot of people, because that is. I mean, here we had money put aside for the intrastate bank, and yet they've hardly rolled out any projects per se, because it takes so long once the money's available to get them ready to go.
Right. I believe of the about $1 billion that was appropriated through various sources several years ago, only one project, that's the I-85, 385 interchange in Greenville, already had the work in progress. So everything else that they're doing, the I-85 work, I-20, some other projects, they've got to go back and start with the engineering, go through the environmental process. So it's, you know, it's just taking a lot of time to get those to a point where you can see dirt being moved.
And, of course, when you've got roads that are, what shall we say, falling apart, that's not a good situation.
No, it's not. It's just like, again, takes a lot of time. And when people, especially if they've appropriated money in, a 1 cent sales tax referendum, or you see it in the paper that money's been appropriated, they want to see the bulldozer in the field doing some work, and they don't understand the time-consuming process.
Sure. And, of course, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about is the money and where it's going to come from, but also how to get these roads moving. Now, Angèle, I know that you have started something that you're real excited about. Actually, I think if I read correctly, you saw this in Aiken originally and came up with the Morning Blend. What an idea. What do you do over there anyways?
Well, it's our chamber's attempt to really have a regular meeting of the membership to bring up issues and topics that are of importance to our constituents. And we want to do that. We thought we'd add a little flair of a quick city update, a county update, certainly a chamber update, but then also provide the members with a topic of interest, such as transportation, and to share a little bit about what are the concerns, what is happening. I mean, of course, there's good news, there's good topics to share, but again, this is one that we thought would be of interest, and certainly since the legislature is now in session, it's a topic very timely.
Sure, and you know, one thing about the roads, anybody that has a car, is affected by it, because Jerry, one of the things that I saw was the fact that we're paying extra just for our cars because the roads are in bad shape.
Well, that's true. There was a study just recently that looked at car damage from potholes, what have you, sitting in traffic, wasting fuel, and I think there's like $3 billion spent annually, if you look at all of that, being spent by the South Carolina residents. And if you look at the major metropolitan areas, Charleston, Greenville, and Columbia, the average motorist is spending over, I think it's like $1,200 a year in those costs. So you can see that it's quite expensive.
You know, the thing about it is, it would be neat if we could just write the check for that and have the roads fixed,
absolutely,
wouldn't it? You know,
it'd be fabulous, because it's either you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. So we'd love to figure out a solution to have a better process for our roads. And certainly that impacts bringing new business to the state.
Sure. You're right. But I started and then I went off to Jerry there. But Morning Blend, you have a new one coming up. When's that coming up?
We're going to be hosting the meeting next Thursday morning, February the 12th. We'll be at the American Legion. It's a breakfast meeting. And we'll start out full breakfast and have folks go around, do some introductions, hear some updates, hear from our presenting sponsor. And then we're going to introduce our speaker and have a conversation about this particular topic.
Now, who is the speaker?
Our speaker, we're very pleased, is going to be Eric Dickey. He is the chairman of the South Carolina Alliance to Fix Our Roads, and he is out of the Columbia area and is the vice president of transportation engineering for Davis and Floyd.
Uh-huh. I see a relationship here, Jerry.
You figured it out.
I did. But now, when we talk about this, what are you... Now, Angel, looking to come out of this, what are you thinking is going to come out of it?
Well, certainly we want to raise the level of awareness about what the true issues are in South Carolina. And we're going to be talking about the challenges facing South Carolina from an economic perspective, from a safety perspective. And so we're trying to raise the level of awareness and hear what the South Carolina Alliance is doing to help push some legislation forward to have some impact. It takes a lot of dollars to get us to a position where we're just beginning to repair our roads, and so we need to get moving from a state perspective, and hopefully something will happen in this legislative cycle.
Now, the chamber here in Greenwood is a member of the state chapter and also the upstate?
We are actually an independent nonprofit organization, so we speak for ourselves when we take any positions. We are a member of the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. as well as the United States Chamber of Commerce, and we are active in a group called the Upstate Chamber Coalition, which is about a dozen chambers in the upstate.
Okay. So how are all you chambers feeling about this issue?
Well, actually, I think there's some varying opinions. So,
really?
And that's okay. You know, what the Greenwood Chamber, what is best for our organization, our members, may not be what's best for the state chamber. But clearly, roads and transportation are top issues on the state chamber agenda, as well as the upstate chamber coalition.
Sure. Now, Jerry, you know, one of the things that I think is very interesting is there is how we get this ball rolling. You and I were talking before we went on the air, and you said people need to get excited about this. They need to correspond. They need to talk. What should people be doing?
Well, if they're interested in the condition of the roads, and they should, it has to do with safety. It has to do with their families getting to work successfully, this type of thing. If they want to get involved, then they should be contacting their senator or their state representative and making their opinions known. I was at a meeting last year, and one of the legislators said, you know, if you write us and tell us, then we're going to do it. So if you get enough groundswell, so to speak, get enough people talking about it, then something's going to be done. And I think we're getting to that point. I know I've been talking about this issue for 15 years now, and I believe we've just got enough support in the state house that it might be the year to really do something.
Well, you know, that's a good point, though, because there's any number of issues that you can sit around and I'll use the word bitch about, you know. But if you don't do something about it, like contact your senator, your House of Representative person, then, as you said, they don't really know how you feel.
Well, that's true. In fact, Senator Floyd Nicholson, Senator O'Dell, too, probably to some degree, but both of them know that when they see me coming, I'm going to talk about roads and funding and this type of thing.
Sure. And they turn and walk the other way? All right. Well, we are here with Jerry Timmons, and we're also here with Angèle Laborde. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Hey, if you got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Well, the price of gas went down. People said we would have no gas tax. And now everybody's looking at a gas tax because the price of gas went down. And, of course, then there were those during the election process that said, well, why don't we put a toll road on the interstates? You know, it's a big question how you pay for things. But part of the problem is that probably we don't have any idea how much it actually costs to do things. You know, Jerry, we were just looking at some figures. $1 million doesn't go very far, does it?
No, $1 million doesn't go very far. And let me back up and take one issue. You talked about a tax. Uh-huh. I call it a user fee because, in effect, that's what it is. If you use the roads, then you're going to pay the...
Well, if you use your car,
if you use your car,
there you go. We're going to be correct.
That's correct. But we're getting back to the cost of construction. If you can resurface a road, and I think the numbers on that is about 50 miles can be repaved. Now, that's lane miles. So if you got two lanes, then it's half of that. But you're looking at about 50 miles to repaving $1 million. If you're going to build, say, a primary road, you're looking at about 8 miles of rehabilitation, rather. Excuse me.
That means taking it all the way back in.
That means redoing the base, fixing the potholes, and then resurfacing, maybe doing some work on the drainage, that type of thing. And then if you're going to construct, it's about 5 miles. So you just don't get a lot for $1 million this day and time.
Well, then maybe we should just give up and not even try, Jerry, because that's an awful lot of dollars before we even get out of the get-go here.
Well, you know, you certainly can do that, but, you know, if South Carolina is going to continue to grow, right now we're just doing wonderful with economic development. From a foreign dollar investment in South Carolina, we rank very, very high. Mm-hmm. And if we don't improve our roads and our infrastructure, then we're going to lose that advantage.
Sure.
The Boeings, the Continentals, the Michelins, the BMWs are going to stop coming to South Carolina.
And certainly we have a very positive port, and a lot of the commerce that comes in through the port has to be trucked across the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so also from that standpoint, the port is very important to South Carolina to get the commerce back and forth. And the upstate is a huge driver, as well as the rest of the state. But you have to have good roads in order to do that.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You do. But the question is, we've let them go so far. Are we going to be able to bring them back in a timely manner? Now, the governor has introduced her plan, which she says she's put, as you and I have talked, Jerry, about strings attached, tying it to the income tax. And then you said the legislator, it's a hot topic down there at the legislator, but how are they going to move this, do you think?
Well, there'll have to be a lot of compromise, which surely there always is, in Columbia. But I'm just hoping that there will be a lot of positive discussion. And I know in several years past, there's been some discussion, and we get to the end of the legislative session, and then nothing is appropriated. So I'm hoping there is some compromise and some give in all of that to come up with some major funding this year.
You know, one of the figures that I was reading over that we're tied for first, South Carolina's Roots is tied for the highest in the nation with the fatality rate. South Carolina's rural fatality rate is also 61% higher than the national average. That's 2.99 fatalities per 100 million vehicles of travel versus a 1.86 national average.
Right.
That's huge.
Well, that is huge. That is, and really, if you break that down, it ranges from the 800s over the last 4 or 5 years to about 920 fatalities in 2008, and that's really breaks down to three fatalities a day.
Yeah.
Across this state, and that's tremendous.
You know, when you start thinking about it, it could be somebody that you know.
Absolutely.
It could be somebody in your family. It really brings it home a little bit more. But we're going to talk some more about this, but I want to talk some more with Angel while she's here about this. What's going on at the Chamber? I saw you got a new website going up there, girlfriend.
We certainly do, trying to keep up and stay up and have a lot of information to share. And I know more folks are online today than they've ever been before, so trying to get it all up there. We're excited that later in this month we've got our legislative breakfast. Mm-hmm. So we've invited our Greenwood delegation on Friday, February 27th. We'll be out at Piedmont Technical College. And again, I'm sure this topic will be one of our many topics that we're going to discuss and hear from them about what they think we'll
Jerry,
see.
Jerry, will you be at the meeting?
Yes, I.
He'll be front and center. Yes, he will.
I think I was the MC last year, so this question did surface, and it was interesting. I posed the question: were any of our legislators opposed to an increase? And I believe everybody was in favor of an increase to our user fee, and with the exception of maybe one that had some questions, but there was no objections.
Okay, because I just wondered if they'd all leave the room when you came in here. See, this way. But you're going to have this legislative breakfast, and that'll be one of the topics, but you'll cover a lot more, I presume.
We certainly will, and we've got a representative from the Upstate Chamber Coalition, Jason Zacher, will be there to kind of cover a variety of the legislative topics that we might see, and kind of he'll put some of those topics out there, and hopefully we'll get some good questions and answers from our chamber members.
Sure. And anything else going on at the Chamber?
Well, you know, we just came off of celebrating our 100th year. We turned 100 in 1914, and we're very excited about that. And we had a phenomenal annual meeting this year, and we're very pleased. We had Greenwood Mills involved as our presenting sponsor, and they just celebrated 125 years in Greenwood. So we took the year, I think, to really celebrate our local businesses. And I think, Jerry, you guys had a big celebration in your company as well.
We celebrated 60 years this past year, and very proud of that.
We celebrated 73.
Congratulations.
There
Congratulations.
You go. Congratulations. For WCRS, not for me personally.
But, you know, we're really blessed to have a number of locally owned and operated businesses that have been in this community for many, many years. So it's exciting, you know, as we did our research about our membership and who those folks were to try and celebrate them throughout the year.
You know, one of the things talking about that, though, is, you know, I wonder what the makeup will be 10, 15, 20 years because so many businesses rely on the children in the families that have gone in, not on your big corporations, but on your smaller mom and pop type stores. You just wonder what the effect will be because you're seeing so many where the kids don't want to be in the family business.
That is true. That's true. And there have been a number of really high-quality family businesses here in Greenwood that I believe are out of business and have chosen to shut their doors.
Right.
And perhaps that might have been a reason why.
Sure. Exactly.
And what we're seeing in the engineering business is a lot of the major engineering companies are coming into South Carolina and buying up smaller companies.
Sure.
It's the face of engineering is not what it was 20 years ago when I was really in the middle of it, and I believe I'm correct in this, is that right now Davis and Floyd is the largest and the biggest engineering firm in South Carolina that's locally owned in South Carolina. So we're South Carolina based, and everybody else is based elsewhere.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Well, listen, let's hear South Carolina news, and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Well, we are talking about roads this afternoon. And, you know, one of the things that always amazes me, Jerry, and every time I hear this or see this figure, is how large a road system South Carolina has against even a state like Texas.
We've got a little over 41,000 miles, and I think we're the fourth largest highway system in America. And that dates back to many years ago, that every road that was built was basically given to the state, or the state took it over for maintenance.
And so, and today those roads are still state roads?
They're still state roads. And some of those roads are maybe just a one-lane road that's going out to a cemetery, or it's a one-lane road that goes out and serves maybe one resident or something like that. And in some cases, I think there's a couple parking lots in there also.
Wow. Now, are there any projects going on right here in Greenwood, or can you tell us any of the roads maybe that we will be on the coming down? Because I know a lot of people are saying my road's messed up and this road's bad. And
we've got one construction project that's on the books right now. Greenwood essentially gets their construction money through the Upper Savannah Council of Governments, and there's one project in Greenwood County. It's the intersection improvement to the bypass 225 and West Alexander Road. They'll be putting in a number of turning lanes. I believe it'll be signalized. It's in right-of-way right now, and what I mean by that is they're purchasing the right-of-way for that project, and then that project will go to bid, go to the contractors, I think in August is what the schedule is there. But here again, just one improvement to that intersection is about $1.5 million.
Now, once they get ready to do this project, how long will it take?
Well, I would say that it may take, you know, 8 or 9 months, something like that. It'll take a while, because if they could go in and work on a green field, so to speak, it could be done much quicker. But you've got to deal with traffic, a lot of traffic control, and so it just takes a while to deal with the traffic.
Okay. So, but that's the only project that's on the books that you know of.
And there will also be some repaving projects. The money that was appropriated 2 years ago appropriates about $40 million a year for just resurfacing projects. That breaks down to a little over about $1 million for Greenwood. And I think last year we had four projects that were repaved, and there'll probably be four more this year. So I think it's a 3 or 4 year project.
Now, what about how the money that we do have, do you know how it gets appropriated? Because, you know, we have the upstate, we have this area, we have the lower state, and I think there's been a lot of conversation about who gets the money, what projects get funded, how they go about doing it.
Okay, the money to Greenwood, like I say, is funded primarily through the Upper Savannah Council of Governments. That is six counties sharing the money that comes to Upper Savannah. That's for new construction.
Does that so include that, Greenville?
No, that does not include Greenville. It's just the six contiguous counties around Greenwood. But you have to share that money with a number of counties. So therefore, when we did the Highway 72 from Clinton to Greenwood, and then the 72 from Clinton to Abbeville and onto the state line, that was pretty much considered Greenwood's project. So now Edgefield, I think, has got the big project going on with the widening of 25, And so it's going to be a while before we really have a project come up. I believe the next project would be Northside Drive, a road that serves the school, two mm-hmm. schools out there. Quite obviously, it needs to be improved. It's a level F service right now, but the money is not on the horizon to be funded. And then, of course, there's some repaving projects. Money comes through the CTC, the County Transportation Commission. That money comes out of our user fee, and we get about $1 million a year to appropriate that money. And that's given out by the committee. Some may go to Ware-Sho, some may go to 96. The city gets a portion, and then the DOT, and a certain amount of that, at least 25% of that, has to be used on DOT or state highway here in Greenwood.
Hmm. Now, where does the federal government fall into all this, Jerry, as far as monies?
We pay, I believe it's 18 cents per gallon, and then that is sent to Washington. And I don't know what happens to it there, but then it comes back to us. And
that's a lot of interesting conversation, isn't it? We send it. Does it come back?
Well, for many years, we would send a dollar up, and we'd get back about 88 cents.
Right.
So we were considered a donor state. That has bumped up, and I'm thinking now that we're up pretty much even. Send a dollar and get a dollar back, maybe a little bit more. But that's the federal government does through the Federal Highway Administration provide money to the state, but only that money can only be used on federally eligible projects. So some rural roads are not eligible for that federal funding. And two, when it does come back, the state has to match that money before they can actually get the money. So the state has to contribute a portion to get that federal money.
Wow. No wonder it takes so much trouble to get this money, to get these projects rolling. But, Angel, you, I know, see this as a real issue for the chambers. And you said the chambers really don't have an opinion, per se, other than, yes, we need to get the roads done. Is there any lobbying that's going to be doing down there in Columbia when it comes to the roads?
I believe you'll see that happening, and the chamber will be there. There's a day scheduled, day at the legislature. I believe it's March the 24th, and we'll be part of the Upstate Chamber Coalition up there talking to not only our delegation, but you got to remember our delegation has four votes,
right?
four or five votes. So you only, you have one legislator, and so you really do have to have traction. And that's what the importance of this Upstate Chamber Coalition is that if we can galvanize around an issue and have an opinion, that perhaps we can get some movement on a particular subject. So, roads are important. It's important to economic development. Of course, it's important to the governor, but we do, as Jerry said, have to come to some consensus about how we're going to make some progress and move the needle and get these roads starting to be fixed.
Sure. So at this moment, you don't really know how you're going to galvanize around this. It's just going to somehow it's going to come together.
Well, we're going to start with this meeting. And okay. I think this meeting is sort of a kickoff. I think we're going to raise the level of awareness at this meeting and educate our members.
That's the Morning Blend.
That's the Morning Blend program next Thursday morning.
I will say that SC4, South Carolina Fix Our Roads, they are an advocate for increasing the gas user fee. And just from a personal point, that seems the only logical way to do it. If you use the roads, then you're going to pay for it through a user fee on tax. So what could be more fair than paying for the roads that you drive on?
Sure. But what do you think? Oh, okay, now I'm going to step out here, because one of the things that's out there, I know, is the fact that we're going to have gas-free cars, we're going to have electric cars, we're going to have things that change, and that really, should we be concentrating on the gas aspect of it, or are there other issues that we should be concentrating on, Jerry?
Well, right now, I would say, 90% of our cars are gas-related, so that's how we deal with it right now. There is a lot of discussion, especially at the federal level, that talks about the hybrids and the electric, you know, and all this, the energy efficient cars that don't use fuel. And they will have to go to something at that point in time as lane miles driven, I believe. So that how that will be done, I can only imagine it would be some kind of GPS system in every car. And if you drive 10,000 miles a year, then you're charged based on that if you don't use
a line fuel. Appears on your taxes that says you owe this and it's non-negotiable, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, hey, I'm here with Jerry Timmons and Angèle Laborde. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking here with Angèle Laborde. She is, of course, the CEO and president of the Greenwood Chamber. I'm also here with Jerry Timmons, a longtime engineer and on the board of the chamber, and busy, busy guy since he's sort of retired. But, you know, one of the things that I think you do a real well with, Angèle, is honoring businesses, your business of the week, all the different aspects that you do. And then, of course, coming up, you always have your after hours, your programs with that. That's always a good program of the chamber. What's how do you feel those are going?
I feel they're going well. That's our attempt to spotlight businesses that perhaps have been around that folks forgot about or don't remember that they're there or they have particular services. And I think many of our businesses have a obvious service. Mm-hmm. For example, a tire company. Well, right. They might do a lot more than just sell tires.
Sure.
And so I think going to a business and really meeting with the owners and hearing about the services and the products and what they're known for really gives them the exposure they need. And so we're happy to do the business of the week and spotlight those folks and put them up on our website and send it in to the local media outlets. And I think that's great. And business after hours continues to be popular. We're going to maybe shake that up a little bit later in the year.
You're going to shake that up?
We might.
Mm-hmm. Martinis?
Oh. Not that kind of shaking.
Shaken, not stirred.
Maybe a
okay.
new structure.
Okay, I was just checking here. But the other thing that you have coming up is the Women's Leadership Conference.
Yeah, it's the Women's Upstate Leadership Conference, and we are very pleased to be hosting the third annual conference. The conference is going to be at Lander University on Friday, March the 13th. So you can remember
Friday the 13th
in March. We have some exciting two keynote speakers. We've got a total of 15 breakout sessions. You can pick three of the five each time and go pick one. Really exciting. We've got a pre-conference the night before at the Arts Center. We're expecting about 300 women. And registration's now open. We've got a website available. It's WLConferenceSC.com. So I'd encourage everybody to go online and register.
You know, Angèle, you know, one of the things that is happening is women are really coming on strong in business. And yet they still need a lot of help. Don't you think as far as how to negotiate, how to do a lot of the things that we end up having to do that we've not ever had to do before?
Well, this particular, our Women's Leadership Council has really come together trying to provide personal and professional development for the women in our area. And we were doing such a great job. They said, we want more. And that's how this conference came about. So we are trying to make a difference and trying to impact the lives of the women that are participating.
Now, what do you think is the most, since you're dealing with this and everything, what do you think is the most difficult aspect for women being in business?
I think being in any business, whether you're a man or a woman, is extremely challenging. Running a small business or any business is very challenging today. And with the regulations and the day-to-day demands, it's difficult. And so we hope that the chamber, their involvement with the chamber, will help them to learn some tools and tricks and resources that will help them be more efficient and increase their bottom line.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think, just this is just a personal aside, is that guys always had the advantage. Maybe not so much now, but guys used to have the advantage because of team sports. Okay? Mm-hmm. Guys always played team sports. And women, growing up, did not play as much. You may have played tennis, you may have been a cheerleader, but you weren't with that team sport. And I think one of the things that guys had was that ability to learn that we all belong and we all have to work together. Whereas I think as far as women, sometimes we didn't realize that we had to work together. We all wanted to be in charge.
Well, I think women have some natural skill sets and multitasking and taking care of a home or a family. And I think it was the realization of that I've got these skills that really can make a difference in running a business or being employed by a business. And so, again, we've got a very successful program, and I hope people will come out and support the conference. We do it every other year. Okay. Such a large undertaking. So hope people take advantage in March.
Okay. Yes.
And I will. I feel like I'm being ganged up on here a little bit.
No, but problem.
I'm trying to gang up on you, Jerry.
But I will say, being in the engineering profession for 45 years, you know, when I started in engineering, it was a male-dominated profession. And
sure.
That's not the case anymore. We've got female engineers that do an outstanding job. Very proud of them and leaders in our group. So it is not a male-dominated profession by any means.
No, and I wasn't really referring to that,
yeah.
But I think they have, I just think that women, and not so much today, not the kids growing up today, but I do think those in that, what shall we say, maybe 40 plus, didn't have the advantage of team sports. And I think that's always been an advantage mm-hmm. for guys. When I've looked at why people work the way they do and why guys can be part of a team and feel good about it. And sometimes if you're a woman boss particularly and you're trying to corral everybody to work together, it's always been a lot easier, truthfully, to get a bunch of guys to work together than it has been to get a bunch of women. Yeah. It's just part of what culture was.
Well, and I think raising the level of consciousness and awareness helps everybody. And certainly looking at successful men and their careers. And again, I agree with Jerry. We're seeing women in very lots of non-traditional roles today.
Sure.
And so it's all opened up at this point. But again, just enhancing their personal professional development. Our theme is igniting your potential, your career, and yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh, I think it's great. But that was just a point that I've noticed over the years. But I also do think the emphasis that they're putting on STEM, technology and engineering and all of these things, has made a difference too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are all good things. And that should be an exciting conference. But to finish up on the roads here, Jerry, at the beginning of this, we said you need to be able to tell your legislators where you stand on the issue. And if you want the roads fixed, you need to get involved. Let's go ahead and just go through that one more time.
Well, you know, first of all, like the morning blend next week when Eric Dickey will be here. And Eric is thoroughly studied in the roads and the road situation. You know, the legislators, I'm thinking they will be there. I hope some of our county council and city council will be there. That'll give everyone an opportunity to talk to them. We will be having the legislative day, the legislative breakfast here in Greenwood. And here again, that's an opportunity to come and talk to those legislators.
Is that just for chamber members?
No, it's open to non-members as well. So they just need to make a reservation with the chamber.
Call the chamber and they can certainly get there. And then pick up, just write a letter. If you feel strongly about the road situation and something should be done, whether you support the user fee, increasing the user fee or not, that should be written down. If there's other ideas, if the tax on the sale of cars, you know, that's another issue, too. That is something that can be discussed. So pick up a pen or type out a letter and send it to your delegation.
All right. Well, those are some of the things that you can do. And, of course, that's what we're trying to figure out, is how to get this done and how to move it in a timely manner before we have much more of our roads falling apart.
That's right. Well, we do need to streamline the process, which has been a difficult part from engineering for many years, but we hope that that'll get better also, and streamlining the process.
Sure. All right, Angel, any closing comments you'd like to make here this afternoon?
Well, Ann, we just appreciate you having us on the radio and talking to all your listeners and just telling them about our upcoming programs. And we encourage them to buy local, support our local Greenwood businesses.
That's right. Makes a real difference. And as I always say, when you go to them and ask them for a donation, it's nice that they have seen your face coming in buying things. Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's a win-win situation if everybody does it right. So you've got the legislative breakfast on the 27th. Next week, you've got the morning blend on the 12th. But you also have Run Your Ice Off, a 5K and 8K race coming up this Saturday.
We sure do. And we've got 300 folks coming out Saturday morning, so we're excited. We're going to be right at the fountain downtown, so it'll be a great event, and I think the weather's going to cooperate this year.
The weather's going to cooperate. Well, let's see how warm it's going to be. At what time do you do this now?
Oh, about 8:30.
Well, let's see.
It's 55.
Supposed to get a high of 61 on 60. Saturday. That's okay. Right. That'll be the high. So we'll see how that works out, but that'll be a lot of fun. And what about this Small Business Council?
Yeah, we're excited about that program. Thank you for bringing that up. We wanted to give our small business owners and folks an opportunity to come and learn about how to get your voice heard and how to get results. And that's exactly what Jerry was talking about a minute ago, about how do you voice your concerns, how do you make an impact. And so we've invited Adam Taylor from Lander University, who's a former state representative, as well as City Councilwoman Nikki Hutto. And we're going to ask them what does it mean to them when folks approach them and talk about making change.
Sure. This is WCRS. Now, what time of the day is that?
That'll be a breakfast meeting February 17th at Sports Break in their new catering hall.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's been great having you both come out here. I think we put out a lot of good information. And, of course, Angel, if anybody wants to contact you, how do they contact you?
They can contact the chamber at 223-8431 or visit us online at greenwoodscchamber.org.
All right. And, Jerry, what if they want to talk to you about some of these road issues?
The office number is 229-5211. Just give me a shout-out. Our email address is jtimmons, J-T-I-M-M-O-N-S, at davisfloyd.com.
All right. Well, there you go. Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.